Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
Jesus is going to do something tonight. Are you ready? Come on, I am excited. You can go ahead and take your seats. It's going to be good night. Good night. Worship team, you're amazing. Let's give them a hand tonight. Come on. Well, first, I want to begin giving honor where honor is due. I honor our amazing lead pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Pastor Leanne. They are incredible. This a movement of Awaken, what they have sowed into is like nothing else I have ever seen. So we honor them. We honor our lead campus pastors, Pastors Matt and Loren. Come on, they are awesome. She just had little baby Judah, who is the cutest thing and is definitely a toggle baby. So cute. Well, hey, tonight we are going to talk about the fullness of God. The fullness of God. And what I felt tonight is that there are some people who have been sleeping. Is anyone asleep in here? Anyone sleeping? No. Okay, but some people have been sleeping to the things of what God wants to wake them up to. You know, there's the story in the Bible where there's a little girl and all the crowd is weeping and they're sad because she's dead. And Jesus comes up and he says, no, she's not dead. She's sleeping. She's sleeping. And he goes and touches her and wakes her up. And what I felt tonight is that there is so much more that God has for each one of us. No matter where we are in our walk, whether we are so far from God, we haven't stepped foot in a church in years, or whether we're a pastor, whether we're a leader high up, it doesn't matter. I know that tonight that God wants to reawaken some things in us. To reawaken us to his calling, to reawaken us to the fullness of God. You know, we just finished Easter, and I remember explaining it to my little kids, and I was saying, you know, Jesus, he was dead for 3 days, and you know, they're all sad. Like, oh, because they just, my four-year-old now, just figured out what death means. Not fun to explain. And then I got to say, you know, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And their little smiles, they just lit up. They're all excited. Jesus is alive. But I love that Jesus is alive. And some of us, I think we have, myself included at times, have been living as beggars. Where we're living as beggars, where we don't realize or tap into all the potential that God has for us, all the freedom that God has for us. You know, there is so much freedom that we can get because of what Jesus paid on the cross. Come on, can I get a louder amen? Come on, we're gonna be a little rowdy in here tonight, okay? We're gonna wake up from our sleep. We're gonna wake up from that snore. We're gonna wake up to the fullness of God. You know, tonight I feel that there's gonna be some physical healings, some emotional healings. Because of what Jesus paid on the cross, we have access to full healing. We have access to his strength. We have access to joy every morning that we can wake up and we can be joyful. That we have access to the peace of God. You know, the Bible says that there's peace that transcends all understanding. That we have access to this stuff. But you know, sometimes we just get in the way. And you know, I do too. There's many times where I've gotten in the way. And you know, I remember after having my second child, I was just flooded with anxiety, flooded with anxious thoughts. It still gets me. This was years ago. But you know, when the Holy Spirit's in the room, so don't judge my tears, everybody. Just go with the flow. But I remember just, I could not fall asleep at night. I would lay there the whole night. So, you know, all of us struggle with things. All of us have issues sometimes, just stepping into the fullness that he has for us. So I'm right there with you. I'm preaching to myself. Okay, so let's take a look at Mark 16. Okay, and Jesus says, these signs will follow those who believe. All right, so these are the signs that are following us, everyone. Come on. So it says, in my name, they will cast out demons. Love that. So we have authority over demons, that we have authority over anxiety, over anxious thoughts, over depression, over suicidal thoughts, that we have that authority. You know, sometimes I think we give the devil way too much credit. We talk about him too much, you know, and he just does not deserve any credit because the victory is already won. Come on. It's already won. All right, so the next sign, what else does Jesus tell us? He says they will speak with new tongues. So God gives us heavenly languages so that we can strengthen our inner man, that we can be strengthened. You know, sometimes we just don't know what to pray. Our human selves get in the way and we don't know what to say. So I love that we can ask for that gift of speaking in tongues and God will give it to us. Okay, it says, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. So don't just go out, you know, drinking poison, but we have privileges because of Jesus in us. You know, we have that authority that nothing can touch us because of what we have in Christ. Amen? It says, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Not that they might recover, you know, not that, you know, it just might partially be healed. But no, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Come on. So what I want to do tonight is touch on three different areas that unlock us into the fullness of God, that allows us to step into that. All right, so the first area, Our praise. I love coming into church that we can immediately just step into that atmosphere of praise. You know, in Psalm 100, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That is how we enter into the presence of God. You know, there is so much power in our praise. You know, we've had people just in the middle of worship instantly get healed. We've had people standing in the back. You know, we had a security guard one time who was just walking in the back, you know, doing his job of whatever security men do. Buff. Yes, and he just got healed. His leg or foot got healed instantly in worship because of the praise, because of the atmosphere. So what I feel for all of us, that we need to become the gatekeepers of our home, that we set the tone in our home, that we set an atmosphere of praise. You know, my son, he's very into Ninja Turtles right now. He even told my daughter, you know, if you look at the sun, you're going to turn into a Ninja Turtle. So we cancel that. It's not true. But where was I going with that? Okay, sickness. Praise. Thank you, Devin. Yes, but what I was going to say, oh, I know, because he always wants to listen to that Ninja Turtle song like 50 times a day. You know, he wakes up and he's like, Teenage Mutant, and he's never even seen it, but he wants to listen to it. And I'm like, no, sorry. We are putting on some praise in this house because mama needs to listen to some praise, not Ninja Turtles. Okay. So yes, become the gatekeeper of your home. And the story that I want to look at is Paul and Silas worshiping in prison. So we can go ahead and throw that up on the screen. In Acts 16, it says, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, come on, who doesn't love a sentence when it starts with but? It's like, okay, something's gonna happen, something's coming. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. I love that. Sometimes I skip over that because you're so focused on like, yes, the praying, the singing. But the prisoners were listening. See, it's not only when our praise is lifted up to Jesus, it's not only us who gets impacted, but it's the people around us. The people around us, that we are impacting people as we worship, that we are shifting things, that we are shifting atmospheres. In my home, as I'm praising, I can begin to hear my little ones praise as well, that they are shifting things in their spirits, whether they know it or not. So come on, when we praise, it affects others and ourselves and our minds. It shifts things in our minds. And then it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. I love this because Paul and Silas had just been beaten. They were beaten and they were thrown into the prison. And what do? Do they start to worry? Do they turn to fear? Do they turn to anxiety? Do they start complaining? You know, I've been there. Just start complaining about my situation. No, they don't do any of that. It says they started praying and singing hymns to God. What a beautiful example that we are meant to praise, that God created us to praise. That is how he created us, to worship, to praise him. And I love that as they praised, that all the chains were loose, that it shifted things. It shifted things. It freed them up. So come on, tonight God wants to bring some freedom through our praise. Come on, let's just take a minute to praise our Jesus, to praise, that we praise him. We praise him in the storm. That we praise him on the mountains and on the valleys and in the middle, that he deserves all the praise. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, power in our praise. The second area that unlocks us and allows us to step into the fullness that God has for us is our language. Our language. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, what we speak either brings life or it brings death. You know, I tell a lot of stories about my kids, but listen, I'm mostly around toddlers. So this is very refreshing being around adults right now. So my kids, one day, my oldest, he was telling a story, and it started pouring. You know, we've had some hail, and he's looking out the window, and he's like, oh, this is a terrible day. It's hailing. And my husband and I looked at him, and we're like, buddy, first of all, we don't say the word terrible. Where did you learn that? And no, this is a great day. All of our plants and trees need water. This is a great day. We speak positive things in this house. We don't say this is a terrible day. And yes, you know, I get it. We all have those days that are hard and tough. But what makes such a difference is when we know the power of our words, that what we speak can actually change our circumstance. What we speak can actually change our day for the better. That death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what are we speaking over our home? What are we speaking over our spouse, over our relationships, over our parents? What are we speaking over our kids? What are we speaking? Is what comes out, you know, when we're at home, is it death? Does it have a tinge of death to it? Or are we speaking heaven? Are we bringing heaven to our home, heaven to our households, being that gatekeeper again? That God has entrusted us with the people that are in your world, whether that's in your workplace, whether that's family, the relationships you're in, friendships, that he's entrusted you with those people to speak life wherever you are, even in secular environments, even in the workplace, that God says, hey, you need to bring my name to this workplace. Even if they say you can't say Jesus, that you can speak Jesus in your actions, that you can speak him with just your actions, with a smile, that there is power in even a smile, that is speaking as well. So come on, what are we speaking over our lives, over ourselves? You know, I remember after we first got married, my husband had several back surgeries by this point after we got married, and he was about to go into another back surgery. And it was very extensive, very elaborate, where, you know, I don't know all these technical terms. You can talk to him in the back after. I want to honor my husband too. He is amazing back there, just pushing my little baby. Oh. Quiet, golf clap, everybody. But you truly are the most incredible husband that I could have prayed for. Don't want to cry, so we'll stop at that. But yes, he had a back surgery, and I remember leading up to it that I remember thinking, you know, why do you even have to have this back surgery? Like, why are we accepting this? Why are we saying, okay, yes, this is going to happen? Because we were in Awaken at this point, and, you know, our church so beautifully believes in miracles, believes that God did not just do miracles in the Bible, but he does miracles today. So I said, you know, why do you keep saying when you're going to have the surgery? Can we just say that you're not going to have it? Let's just change our language. And I remember some of our really good friends came over, and they prayed with us. They came over just to pray with us the night before the surgery, and they asked my husband, they said, what do you want exactly to happen? Like, tell us exactly, like, the words that you want to happen. And because of his previous surgeries, you know, he had some hardware already in his back. So he said, I want them to open me up and to realize I'm already healed. So all they would really have to do is just, you know, I want to say zip him back up, but that's not the right word. We'll just go with it. Zip him back up. So that's what we prayed for, because the surgery was going to be one of the most extensive back surgeries that anybody could ever have. And the surgeon was a very specialized surgeon, one of the top surgeons in the state and in the country. And I remember Andy saying, you know, they're supposed to open me up, do something, flip me over, continue the surgery. Like, it was very elaborate. So anyways, we get to the day of the surgery, and I remember a few hours into it, the surgeon calls me. You know, that can never be good for the most part. You're like, why are they paging me right now? He should still be in the middle of this. So I run there, and the surgeon is literally in shock. Like, this surgeon is in shock. And he says, you know, we opened him up and he was already healed. Like, he could not believe it. This surgeon, who was not a Christian, was in complete shock. He said, we opened him up and all we had to do was take out the old hardware. The exact words that we had prayed over him. The exact words. See, there is so much power in what we speak. So much power in what we pray. You know, even Jesus in Mark 11:23, he says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So, you know, Jesus is even telling us, be specific. Be specific with our prayers. Be specific with what we are speaking. Come on, there is so much power in our words. So much power. All right, so the third area, you guys with me? You guys doing good? All right, is our serving. Our serving. So when we serve, our identities are found and our destinies are unlocked. When we serve, our eyes are shifted to the greater picture. You know, there are so many times where I've walked in, you know, and just felt like, ugh, I don't want to serve today. I don't want to do this. But it's so good because what serving does is it gets our minds off of ourselves and it puts our minds on other people. It turns our eyes to the kingdom to remember that we are just specks on this earth, yes, living for a purpose to bring Jesus, but our time here is fleeting. So the time that we have, we need to live for Jesus. We need to put our all in. We put our all in to build his kingdom on this earth. And what I love in the story of Paul and Silas is it says that, you know, what happened after they praised is their eyes shifted to the people around them. All the guards ended up being like, what just happened? Why didn't they run away? You know, they were set loose. They were set free. And they're still here. One of the guards actually almost killed himself. And Paul says, no. We're still here. We haven't left. And because of their praise, because of their words that came out of their mouth, they got saved. The guards got saved. And their families got saved. And it says that they were baptized. So you see, when we praise, when we speak words of life, that is when the people around us begin to wonder, what is it that's on them? What is it that's different? What do they have? I want that. They begin to see Jesus in us. They begin to see that light that we can carry, that we can portray wherever we go. You know, I remember... Well, not remember, I'm still in this postpartum season. But we'll say remember, like it was a while ago. But as you know, I had a little baby 9 months ago. And, you know, in this season, it's been so nice. I'll just be really honest. It's so nice. I just haven't done much. You know, I'm just focusing on my baby. I'm in the nursing mom's room a lot. And not that I'm checked out. I love coming to church still and seeing everybody. But part of me is like, you know, this is so comfortable. I love coming to church and attending and not doing very much, you know, and focusing on my baby and focusing on my husband, which, yes, are all, yes, he's giving a little quiet shout out back there, which, yes, are good priorities, and those should always be our priorities. But what I have felt is that, you know, God has spoke to me and said, Amy, who are you impacting, or what are you showing people if all you want to keep doing for the rest of your life is just attending, is not serving, is just sitting in the back? Because, you know, people will always rise up. God is always raising up leaders. He's always calling people and pulling them up. So there will always be people, you know, I have felt sometimes, well, I'm not needed. You know, they're doing so great without me. But God's like, but I've put a specific call on your life. And you just sitting back, what is that speaking to your kids? You know, what legacy is that leaving? And I'm getting emotional because my beautiful parents are here tonight. Yes. I know they're going to hate this, but can you guys just stand up for a minute? I just want to honor you and honor you guys. Because what my parents have sowed into me is so incredible. You know, we went to church every Sunday. Either, I can't even remember a time. Even, you know, as a teenager, you just want to sleep in till noon. Some of you are in that season. God bless you. I wish I was in that season some days. Because 6 a.m. right now is sleeping in for me. But I remember, you know, my brother's here too. I love him. But my brother and I, we were on the worship team back in the day. You know, he was on the drums. Djembe, is that how you say it? I don't know. Djembe. Sounds so French. I don't know. And I remember, you know, we would drive there and we would go be on the worship team. And it is such an incredible foundation to have parents who sow that into your spirit, to sow that into your heart as a kid. And you know, as a kid, you don't know why you're always going to church. You don't know why you have to serve or what's the benefit of serving. But to have a family who prioritize the house of God, who prioritize the presence of God, of saying, no, we will get to church every Sunday, that we will worship, is a gift that no one else could have ever given me. It is a gift that is like no other. So I honor you too today for what you have instilled in me. And you know, what I have felt is that my kids need that same gift. That what we do on this earth is everlasting. That what we're instilling in our kids is like nothing else. Those seeds that we're planting in them is so valuable. So valuable. So when we serve, we're not only impacting ourselves, we're not only impacting our own mindsets and our own hearts, but we're impacting generations after generations after generations, that we are impacting so many generations that we might not even know until we get to heaven. But then we can look down and see someday, you know, the impact that we can make for Jesus. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet right now? I feel that God is beginning to stir some hearts in this place, to stir some hearts that some of us have been sleeping, that we have been sleeping. And you know, some of us may have felt dead in certain areas. Our giftings may have felt dead. The value that you feel like you bring may have felt dead. The season that you're in, maybe it feels dead. But what I feel that God is saying tonight is that winter is over, that spring is here, that a new season is here, that He is starting to stir giftings in us, that He is going to grow us, that He is going to change us, that He wants to impart something tonight, that He wants to impart the fullness of God tonight. And come on, worship team, if you could go into that last praise song. What I want to do is for us to have an atmosphere of praise in this house, an atmosphere of praise that God wants to shift things tonight. to shift things in our mindsets, that some of us have been living with some stuff that we just need to throw away, that we need to step on tonight. Some things that He no longer wants us to carry in our hearts, to carry in our minds. And you know, sometimes there's things that we carry that we're not intentionally trying to carry, like worry. It's not like we wake up in the morning and we think, oh, I'm gonna worry today. No, that doesn't happen, but things just creep in because we live in a fallen world, that we are fallen, but God is here to redeem tonight, that He is here to redeem, to restore, for us to step into our full health. Come on, and if you are in this place and you are far from God, that you're far from Jesus, you know, maybe you felt a stirring tonight, a stirring in your spirit to take a step towards Him again. Or maybe you've never accepted Jesus and you felt, I wanna give my heart to God tonight. That I wanna try living for Him, to step into a new life, to say goodbye to an old life and to step into the new. Come on, I believe that God is stirring hearts tonight, stirring people back to Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that is you, just lift your hand to Jesus right now. No one's looking around. Just lift your hand to Jesus. If that's a recommitment to Him, to say, Jesus, I want to give You my all. Jesus, I want You to restore me. I want to be Your child. If that's you, just raise your hand tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. I'll just give another minute. Thank You, Jesus, that You are calling us back to Your heart tonight. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, amen. Amen. And if that is you, where you have felt, you know, dead in certain areas, but tonight you have felt awakened to something. Awakened to something where God says, no, they're not dead, they're just sleeping. If that's you and you want to take a step for His kingdom, a step for Jesus tonight, if you want a refreshing touch from Him, just lift your hands tonight. Lift your hands. I thank You, Jesus, that You are calling us to Your presence, God, that You are calling us tonight to step out of the old and into the new. God, to step into new life tonight, that You have calling on the inside of us, that You have purpose, that You have peace that transcends all understanding, that You are releasing Your joy right now where there is sorrow. God, that You are bringing joy to flood our hearts, joy to flood us in the morning. I thank You, God, that Your mercies are new every morning, that Your mercies are new, that where we have felt defeated, God, that You are saying that we are more than conquerors, that we are more than conquerors, that He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Come on, some of us need to be reminded of that right now, that He who is in us is greater than the spirit of this world. I thank You, Jesus, for rising us up tonight. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.